Hello and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal, your central location for all the things that happened in the geekly space last week. Once again, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, and things are looking brighter for once. Once again, I am joined by the greatest, the latest, the awesomest. Tell the people who you are.
It is I, Stephanie, and that is a much warmer response than I think, warmer introduction than you gave me last week.
This week didn't suck, so.
Yeah, as much.
As much.
Yeah.
We're on the upswing.
Yeah, we're on the upswing. It is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr. Follow me on Instagram if you want. I'm hella Steph there.
Oh, yeah, you do have an Instagram.
Yeah, I do. I post cool pictures of myself on it.
And I say that like kind of in a, oh, wow kind of way, despite the fact that I've been following you before, so. That was just pure radio talk. But how are you doing today? How's your day going?
It's been a pretty good day. I slept in. I had a kind of lazy afternoon, and then I went out. There's like a cool Christmas market kind of thing going on at Union Square that I guess they do every year up until Christmas.
Cool.
Can see all kind of arts and crafts and taste people's free samples of fancy cheeses and cookies and that kind of thing. And
cheese. Gross.
Don't be a hater.
I'm hating. I'm 10 out of 10 hater.
and then me and my friend who went kind of chilled out for a while, and then we went down Union Square is where the post-it note wall is. I don't know if anyone has seen that on social media, but there's a whole corridor of the Union Square subway station has been taken up with post-its, both decrying Donald Trump and supporting his opposition, I guess, love Trump's hate kind of messages.
Okay. And there's no like pro Trump stuff down there?
No, it's all. Well, it's all political, but it's all progressively political.
Is it all political?
I mean, I didn't read all the post-it notes. I mean, I sent you a picture of that one someone had drawn the Overwatch logo and like had like the Ryuga Tekigo Corral.
That made me so happy.
Whatever, Hanzo's. Yellow thing is
the titty man himself. I appreciate that. If you ever put up like somewhere like a space to write, there will always be like the people that support it politically. Sometimes people will say like not so great things, but there's always going to be somebody who's like, time to get off topic and get those dank memes.
And I only knew that was Hanzo's thing because you made me watch the Hanzo short yesterday. I was like, oh, I know what that slogan is from.
to be fair, I didn't make you do anything. I just heavily suggested and left a link. That's all I did.
Yeah, and then I ended up watching another one after that with Soldier 76 in it because it auto-played, and I was like, oh, I guess here I am.
See, it's just like a Pixar movie, but cool when people say damn a little bit more, probably. They're so well done. Don't watch the Bastion one. It might make you cry.
Okay.
You know, that robot that doesn't talk and... Anyway, that's cool. It sounds like a solid day.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm not doing tonight? I'm not watching the AMAs, the American Music Awards.
I was like, I can think of a variety of things that you're not doing.
That's fair. That's true. There's an infinite amount of things I'm not doing, but the one on mind was I'm not watching the AMAs because, I don't know, that never felt like a solid award show to me.
I saw... Full disclosure, I follow the Backstreet Boys on Facebook, and they posted a picture of, like, their 90s couture on the AMA red carpet, like, 15 years ago, and I was like, why are they posting about that? I had no idea that the AMAs were tonight.
I mean, that still is not that good of a reason to do that.
Yeah.
I do miss 90s chic. But yeah, that's tonight, so I don't know. I hope the people that need to win. I don't even know if it's not even the people's choice. I have no idea who picks this stuff, but, eh. Oh well, I had a nice day today too. Got some donuts, got some coffee. The Steelers played today and they beat the Browns because that's what's supposed to happen. So now the Browns still have not won a game this season. That's hilarious to me. Sorry to our listeners who are Cleveland fans, but it's not my fault. And let's get into some specific stuff. Let's get geekly real quick. So which one of these topics do you want to jump into first?
Let's talk about... Let's bounce off the FMA real fast because I have a lot of thoughts about Steven Universe, so...
Okay, and let's talk about some Full Metal Alchemist. And by that, I mean, can you talk to me about Full Metal Alchemist?
Yes. So last week we talked about the Fullmetal Alchemist live action movie in the context of the Ghost in the Shell trailer, because we didn't have the Fullmetal Alchemist trailer yet. We just knew that, unlike Ghost in the Shell, it was going to have a fully Japanese cast, and also, unlike Ghost in the Shell, that was not necessarily as necessary as in Ghost in the Shell. But since then, we have had at least a teaser trailer. It came out the 16th, I think, so that was Wednesday, maybe. So teaser trailer came out, very just kind of like visual callbacks to the series. There's nothing really related to what the plot is going to be, and I'm not sure what the plot is going to be, simply because the actual story of Fullmetal Alchemist is so complex and long. It'd be like trying to put the whole Harry Potter series in a single movie.
Can't really do it.
Yeah, it's I think the manga ended up at like 110 or something chapters. Brotherhood, which is like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, the anime that's considered like the faithful adaptation of the manga, was 65 episodes, I think. So it's a lot of ground to cover.
So at least three movies.
Complex world building. So I'm not sure if this is going to be like just like end of like a filler story, because they have done animated Fullmetal Alchemist movies like that in the past, where like they have just kind of been like a side adventure on Ed and Al's journey. But this one has like the, at least their origin story is going to be in it, because it has like Al being trapped in the armor, the human transmutation circle where they try to bring their mom back, like all that kind of stuff is in the trailer. So
okay,
I'm tentatively excited. I always get excited for live action anime movies, that like the Japanese live action anime movies, and then fail to ever see them, except for the Death Note movies. I've seen the Death Note movies. So I don't know if I'll end up or not, but
yeah, I've never seen an adaptation of an anime, except for Dragon Ball Evolution, and I didn't watch the whole thing, so you know, not really in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
I hope one day they make a Kill la Kill live action movie, because that would be stupid and it'd be amazing. So what other trailers do we got here?
On the note of trailers for movies that are not like an anime movie tied to a anime with an ongoing and complete story, but the movie has nothing to do with the anime, is just kind of like a filler movie.
What?
So Sailor Moon R is coming back to theaters in January.
Okay.
Sailor Moon R is like a movie with the cast of Sailor Moon in it that has really no bearing on the series of Sailor Moon as a whole. Like, there's nothing that happens in the movie that changes the stakes for the series.
What's the plot, then?
Kind of filler. The plot is about some guy who was friends with Tuxedo Mask, like, when he was a kid, coming back to Earth to be mad at Sailor Moon for being Tuxedo Mask's girlfriend.
Oh.
As best I can tell. Awesome. I've not actually seen Sailor Moon R. Okay. But I read a review of it once.
Oh, that's the same thing.
Yeah. So that's as best I can tell. It's like a weird kind of almost like platonic love triangle in a confusing way, because as best I can tell, the guy who was friends with Tuxedo Mask is not interested in him romantically. He's just mad that Sailor Moon has his attention now.
Oh yeah, just like Bucky and Captain America are just buddies.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sailor Moon's never, like, at least the original, like, the undubbed, uncensored Sailor Moon has never been shy about putting actual gay people in the series. So,
it's assumed that they wouldn't, like, just start now having some kind of gun shyness.
Yeah, so, I mean, uh-huh. And this isn't a new movie. This is a re-release of a movie that came out in, like, the 90s.
Oh, awesome. That's what the kids want nowadays.
Yeah. I don't know if any of that explanation was whatever the spoken version of legible is, but...
I think I got
people.
It.
You followed me.
My interest was not piqued. It has nothing to do with your description. I just wasn't going to see it anyway, so...
I mean, as a Sailor Moon fan, I don't really have any desire to see it either.
That's pity.
So...
Oh, well. It could be, like, a fun movie-going experience for those to go. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, if I had a bunch of, like, friends in New York who were, say, also Sailor Moon fans, and we could, like, dress up or something to go see it, That would be one thing, but I'm not going to go spend $17 on a ticket to see it by myself.
Sure. And I'm guessing the Sailor Moon fan base would probably be largely women and girls?
Yeah.
That's good. I hope gender stereotypes are true then, because the stereotype is that women tend to watch a little better, because the premieres of the Dragon Ball Z movies were not so great because the con funk was real. And it's one thing when people have con funk at a con, like, you know,
you expected at a con.
Not only that, like, it's unacceptable, but it's understandable how it could have happened. You know what I mean? Like, you've been wearing a costume all day. Maybe you didn't have time to shower because of your room situation. Okay. But how do you have funk, like, on a Tuesday afternoon, like, near your house? That's unforgivable, is what I'm saying. It's just awful. So, I hope the Sailor Moon theaters smell a little better than the Dragon Ball movie theaters. So,
same.
Hard same.
Hard same.
Let's talk about something that doesn't stink, and that's Steven Universe. You like what I did there?
That was smooth.
New episode after like a year and a half, it feels like, even though it's been like, what, a month maybe? 2 months? Yeah.
Although, as in terms of Steven Universe, this one was kind of a stinker. It wasn't a very...
You think so?
I didn't love it.
I feel like... I'm conflicted on it. It wasn't my favorite thing. I'm not sure why it was the half an hour episode they went with. Like, I feel like they could have got the point across in their traditional 12-minute format. But also, it totally feels like an episode that wasn't supposed to be, like, hey, come back after a few weeks to this episode. It felt like it was supposed to happen it felt like it was supposed to happen just after the last episode, except that it was canonically between Halloween and Thanksgiving. So, they're like, better hold on to this one.
Yeah, so for any listeners who have not watched the Steven Universe episode, spoiler alert, it's about discovering that the barn in which Peridot and Lapis have been living is actually owned by Greg's cousin, Andy?
Yeah, Andy DeMeo.
Andy DeMeo. Not Universe. And he comes back and is astonished that these illegal immigrants are living in his barn, and Greg and Rose were never traditionally married, and Greg changed his name legally to get away because Universe was cooler sounding than DeMeo.
Yeah, like they kind of just skipped over the fact that he had no real reason to do that other than for his music. He just kind of did that.
Yeah.
Like, he took less umbrage with that than I thought he was going to.
Yeah, well, I was surprised that I actually illegally changed my name to Universe, that it wasn't just like, oh yeah, that's just my stage name, like, it's always been Greg DeMeo.
No, he changes his name legally. But that's pretty dope. He's a hardcore guy.
Yeah, so I've already told you my hot take on this, on the tone of this episode.
Sure.
But, for the listeners, so the episode is about this very kind of backwards, grumpy, like, angry about like, the illegal aliens, quote-unquote, that are living in his barn, and the...
To be fair.
Which is fair, you know. But, like, just the phrasing...
No, for sure.
Is a call out, and
he also called them Martian. I don't know why. That's
like
Mars, please.
So basically, this character is kind of like the video game, the Cartoon Network light version of like an angry Trump guy.
It's like your racist uncle.
But like, yeah, he's like your racist uncle. Like, he might as well be wearing a "Make America Great Again" hat. Like, he shows up in like. So, Steven he had no idea that this side of his family existed. He wants to get to know Uncle Andy because he's Steven. Like, he wants Uncle Andy to become part of his giant, like, many-mothered family.
I appreciate the fact that, you know, it seemed like part of him was like, hey, Lapis, maybe don't kill this human. Because Lapis and Peridot are like, yo, Steven, we could kill this guy. It's not an issue. Like... Got him in the water fist. Peridot has the drones. Like, this doesn't have to be an issue. There's no threat here whatsoever.
Yeah, so anyway, like, Steven would rather, like, he wants to engage with Andy. He wants Andy to understand why Steven loves the family he has and doesn't. Like, he wants Uncle Andy to come around to his way of seeing things. And even though Uncle Andy doesn't really get there in the end. Like, he's working on it, but not really there.
I think the central conflict was basically he didn't want them in his barn, and, you know, Kenny, he had kind of had the moral precedent of, like, hey, this belongs to me. You kind of did just take it, Greg. And like, hey, if we can convince you that this is cool, can we stay? He's like, yeah, I'll take that bet. So, I don't know. Yeah.
So, anyway, my hot take on this episode is that Cartoon Network knew a long time ago that it was going to air after the election. And whoever was involved in making it was banking on a Clinton win. Because,
possibly, yeah.
It, to me, if this episode had aired in a post-Clinton elect America, it would have been kind of like a childlike message of, like, okay, well, you're, like, maybe you had relatives or friends or people you knew who had bad opinions about things, but it's time to work with them and get to them to know, like, see things from their point of view and help them work to understand your point of view and that, like, the way your lifestyle is or whatever is okay.
Yeah, because they definitely make a joke about, like, there's a, they wanted to show them, like, human holidays or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, we should celebrate to make Andy feel good. So they get, like, this giant wedding cake that has, like, a few grooms and brides on it. And then I think Pearl's like, oh, yeah, we want to celebrate. So we figured we should just all marry each other. And there's, like, a quick shot of Andy being like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like,
but, I think that was definitely part of it.
Like, in a post-Trump elect America, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, like all the people who were like, let's give it a chance, like, let's all reunite as a country, like, no, I don't have no desire to do that.
I didn't get that specific feeling from it just kind of seemed like, well, I agree with you that I think it was supposed to be made, like, if it had that tone of, hey, you know, like, it definitely didn't feel like a give people a chance, it felt like a, hey, we, you know what I'm saying, it, I'm agreeing that it felt like it was built for a post-Hillary world, and they just gambled wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, since it had that tone so heavily, there was no way for me to feel like it was, hey, you know, because they never painted Andy as being, like, the winner or successful, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they gave him was, you know, a lot of it came back to his being hurt that his family left, and he eventually admits, like, you know, I really could have just went and I could have saw everybody on my own. Like, I didn't have to wait for everybody to come back. I could have been, like, a better cousin. That's, it is on me as well. So, I don't know. I don't know what their goal was. Also, I saw Ian Jones Cordy, one of the storyboard guys.
Mm-hmm.
He said, like, you know, and I think he tweeted this, like, last year, actually. He's like, now that I don't work on the show anymore, I just want to write, I wish nothing more than the Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force could have met Greg one day and they just hang out. And the guy who voices Andy, I should look it up, but his voice is, to me, just one-to-one with Carl from Aqua Teen. And his character is the same, like, kind of like a New Jersey-esque kind of, not really a fan of immigrants kind of person, but, like, on a political level, wouldn't be a fan of immigrants, but would be the guy to go, like, to where immigrants might work, for instance. And I guess we'll leave it at that to be PC, but he just is kind of a jag-off, and it seemed like that's, Andy was just a douche for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the episode didn't seem to have, like, any conclusion or, like, it didn't have a point to me.
Yeah, it kind of trailed off at the end with nothing really resolved one way or the other, except, like, okay, cool, now Lapis and Peridot are allowed to stay in the barn.
Yeah, and then, like, okay, cool, Andy's gonna try, and
it's like, I think you said, like, it seemed like the answer to a question no one asked.
Yeah, it's like, whose barn is this? I don't know, it's Greg's relatives. Like, where do you get a car wash? Well, we know that, but I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have access to a plane, but they already had aviation, you know? And
yeah, like,
they had that, yeah, and they had a whole big setup about, like, Peridot and Lapis wanting to, like, create vegetables to live. And then Steven made the pumpkin dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that had no, there was no reason for that either. It's like, oh, well, now we have a pumpkin dog and we have all these crops. So, yeah, there's a reason to have the crops. That was the setup, but I don't know, the pumpkin's cute, but it was kind of like, this is,
what's going on?
this has ultimately no payoff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of a disappointing episode, but
I'm glad to have it back. It was nice to watch. I caught up on all the shorts and then the episode.
I should watch
those. The shorts were cute. They were all, like, kind of like YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Like, Steven reviewing an episode of something, or, like, Steven reacts in live, in, like, in real time to Crying Breakfast Friends, like, it was cute.
Which are always foreshadowing in some kind of way.
Yeah.
But I mean, I laughed at the episode. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. But if I were to like look back and say like, how do you feel about them? Like, eh.
Yeah, it does not go down. It's not like gonna go down in a top 5 or a top 10.
Like, it felt like a good Thursday of a Steven bomb. Like that nice lull before like shit hits the actual fan.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? Oh well. Eh, you know. So next week we're probably gonna like all be in our feels. Like Rebecca Sugar's gonna like punch us in the stomachs. Like, oh, you thought. Actually, you know what? They probably introduced Andy just to be like, hey, Steven has an emotional connection to somebody. The gems are like, I could take him or leave him, and something's going to happen. I don't know if like some rubies are going to come back and take him, thinking he's Greg or something, and like, we got to go save Andy. And they're like,
do we have to save Andy?
So I don't know. We'll see. Well, anything else?
I think that's it for the first little bit there. Let's, you want to cue up some tunes?
Let's cue them up. It's almost like things are normal again. Almost. And so here's some music, and we'll see you after the break.
Yeah, no further questions, rather. Cool means something all by itself, you know, but it's like trying to define hip. You know, hip in general, or righteousness, you know? You can give 100 examples of what it isn't. Man, you have all the time saying what it is.
Now for those that still need to be convinced, this is from the crime scene, OC remix. It's irrefutable, solid, conclusive, gruesome. Tuesday, why'd you have to do it? Why? Suddenly he stands forth, different mood in his eyes, he seems to have transformed. The DJ was letting tracks spin like that sick, I made that crap back, flipping a casket bastard. She's trying to play me, talking about on the whackers, and how I ought to care about what they think is happening. They'll ask for the crime, I ain't planning to practice, though it wasn't an accident. My ears just told my brain, yo, that's it. I'm glad they found the tape to back it. I take this moment to admit I'm great at rapping. A savage that broke free from the cage he was trapped in. As they dragged him away, all that was heard was his laughing. Guilty.
Hey, 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 welcome back from the break. We hope you like that music. If you've been here before, you know the drill, but if this is the first time listening, you can find the artist, the title, and where to find that music in the show notes below. We don't just go around stealing music, you know, we credit people. And if it's something that you need to be that needs to be purchased, you can assure that it's been purchased by us. We're not stealing music, we're not those kind of pirates, you know, it's not cool, man, it's not cool. So let's get into some stories. Okay, so the world is a weird, weird, weird place. And let's just jump into it. So Vice President-elect Mike Pence went to see Hamilton at some point in the last few days. And the crowd wasn't super jazzed about that. Half the crowd was booing him. And half the crowd cheered, which, you know, obviously that statistically should have happened. But then the cast at the end, you know, addressed him and kind of was saying, hey, buddy, like, don't hate us so much. And yeah, that kind of became like a big talking thing, you know, like Trump and his camp are like, I can't believe that the Hamilton people were so rude to him, which put it out there was not just blatantly a lie. Like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, like Pence was disrespected by the theater goers for sure. And like there are certain parts of the play that were easy to apply to him. Like apparently there was like a 3-minute long applause break after the immigrants we get the job done line.
Again, still you can't leave an applause break if no one applauds.
And I think probably the only thing you could possibly point to is the apparently Rory O'Malley, who's playing King George right now, apparently saying what comes next like directly to Pence in the audience. The statement that they read after the performance that the cast read was like, to call it harassment it's just a lie. Like, honestly, there was literally nothing. It just said, like, they came out, they said, hey, Mr. President, or Mr. Vice President-elect, thank you for coming to our show. We just wanted to take this opportunity to speak to you and say that a lot of us have been worried that you're not going to keep us and our children and our spouses and our parents and the planet in mind in your administration.
Could you
yeah, basically that was the message was basically just, we hope that the diversity of our cast and the musical that you saw tonight has inspired you to respect the diversity of America,
right?
And we hope that those ethics will show through in your decisions in the next 4 years. Like,
it's pretty fair. It's such a fair thing to say. I guess I don't know, this wouldn't be the elephant in the room, but there's some theories that go around that says this was a misdirection because there was some other stuff in the administration going on that day. Some people are saying that the goal was to get booed so that you could, like, stir some of the right-wing supporters, like, oh, I'm not sure about this Trump-Pence thing.
Yeah.
If you get some liberals mad at you, you can, like, re-rally them. So there's all that, but
yeah,
I think, like, it's... Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I've seen that it was all just a misdirection, so keep people from paying attention to the fact that Trump settled his Trump University suits yesterday, or whenever it was, and that to misdirect from Ivanka and one of his other kids sitting in on his private meeting with Shinzo Abe, and this, that, and the other thing. And I honestly, that kind of thing pisses me off, because it's like, it's the kind of, like, Tumblr social justice-y opinion that, like, no one can be worried about more than one thing at one time.
Right. I mean, I'll also go into that. I'll just be straight up. Like, I hope it wasn't a misdirection, because no one was really paying attention to begin with. So it's not like you had to misdirect anybody but the media. And, you know, people feel about the media how they already do.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, you know, whether you believe in those or not, I think it does point to an interesting concept. I've been kicking this around with you a little bit offline, but kind of the idea that people can absorb media without absorbing its message.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, unless Pence was sent there specifically for one of these conspiracy reasons, I can't imagine why somebody who is, like, a horrible homophobe that doesn't like immigrants would want to see
a Broadway play, show,
first off, and then one that's central theme is, hey, immigrants are pretty badass. You know, I don't, like, why would you want to see that if you feel the way that you feel about immigrants, you know?
Mm-hmm. And why would you want to see it headlined by an HIV-positive gay guy?
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, I was kicking this around because it's funny how the world works, and they'll give you examples once you come up with an idea, but I was thinking about playing Overwatch and stuff, and this is actually relevant. You know, people will be playing Lucio, and then they'll call me nigger or something, just because my name is Brother Dom, so they assume I'm black. Lucky guess, but they'll say, like, really racist stuff, or like, oh, you know, go find a tree or something, or they'll be playing as Mercy, and they'll call, like, women the C-word, or all these other sexist remarks, and I'm like, how can you play as a black character, or another character of color, or a woman, and talk about how cool they are? Like, everyone will tell you, Mercy's great, Lucio's great, but then at the same time, in the same sentence or paragraph, they'll say something disparaging to a real-life person of that demographic. You know, that just kind of reminds me of, like, this thing with Pence and Hamilton. You know, why are people, like, how can people absorb media and not,
well, I think,
you know what I mean?
Like, I think it comes down to, like, just having some kind of hard line between, like, entertainment and the message of the entertainment. Like, the way I saw it, and I don't even know how Pence felt about it, you know? Like, like, apparently he stopped in the hallway to listen to what was being said. So, like, we have had zero, like, first-person...
That's true.
...account of how Pence felt about this. We just know how Trump and all of Trump's supporters felt about it. But, like, if he was just going to see the show and didn't want to be tied up in the politics of it, which, I mean, like, is laughable because it's a show about the Founding Fathers. Like, no matter what, there was going to be politics involved, but also, like... that's the point. But, like... wanting to go to a show that hits all of those notes, the immigrant positiveness, the queer positiveness, the, like, the racial positiveness.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Only it's very
want,
hip-hop.
Yeah, and only want it to be entertaining to you without taking anything from it or wanting to be challenged in any political way on it is, like, at least racist to me. It's like, cool, I'll pay a lot of money to watch these people sing and dance for me, but they better not make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, and, you know, it's... Oh, this is such a weird thing to say. Like, as much as I want to be like, yo, F Mike Pence, and, you know, sure, I'm not going to take that back, I guess, but it's not like it's just him and Trump and those kind of people that are willing to go to a Broadway musical that was written by a Puerto Rican man and then say, hey, should we send money to Puerto Rico? And, like, no, that's not part of the United States, despite the fact that it is. Like, yeah. You know,
should Puerto Rico be a state? Nah. Like,
yeah. Or people that are extremely racist and watch football every single Sunday, and, you know, yeah, the majority of the NFL is African-American from what I can tell. It just throws me off, you know. I guess since it's weird, It's weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know. And also, like, the most comical, I think, part of the whole experience is that it's ended up to, it's come to another, well, let's call it another notch in the post proving that Republicans don't know how to boycott something.
Yeah, I thought I saw that.
So apparently they've decided there's a boycott Hamilton hashtag trending over the last couple of days, because people are like, oh, well, let's not buy tickets to this thing so that they know that we're pissed at them for making a political statement in a political musical about politics, without realizing that, I mean, like, are you going to, I hope you're still pissed in 2018, because that's that's when the tickets you buy are going to be available.
Yeah, like, you can't boycott Hamilton right now. It's impossible to do.
Yeah,
there's so many of us that are accidentally boycotting Hamilton.
Yeah, like, I'm accidentally boycotting Hamilton right now because it would cost more than my month's rent to buy a ticket. Like,
I mean, it goes hand in hand with the boycott of Starbucks by going to Starbucks and buying stuff.
Yeah,
just to, like, get them to say Trump, like, which they don't have to do either.
Yeah, they don't have to yell the name. They can just they could just yell the name of their of your drink if they yell anything.
That's what they do to me, and my name's pretty easy to say. It's just Dom. Which, you know,
yeah.
It goes to dawn sometimes. It's a whole thing. Anyway, I'm bored of this. Let's move on to the next thing, because I don't want to think about the false equivalencies. But
it's okay. Let's move along.
Yeah, stay tuned. I might write an article about watching brown people and not respecting them, and women and queer people. But in the meantime, let's talk about more bullshit.
Let's talk about junk.
Let's talk about vaginas. You want to talk about some vaginas, Steph?
Let's talk about some vaginas. And some wieners. Let's be an equal opportunity.
Okay. That's fair. Let's get all the junk. Let's talk about some junk. So, if you all play video games or know about video games, you may have heard of a little game called Watch Dogs 2 by the company Ubisoft. Now, I haven't been playing a lot of video games other than Overwatch because I am broke and because it eats up all my time, but mostly the first one.
Ubisoft's who makes Assassin's Creed, right?
Yep, they make Assassin's Creed, Rayman, some other game where you have to climb towers.
Just
it's like a home. Yeah.
Yeah, just asking because I know that they have an abysmal track record with women in Assassin's Creed as well, so.
In their defense, which is miraculous to be able to say this, that one time they said that women would be too hard to animate. If you go and play that game, they weren't wrong. Like, all the models in that game, besides the main character, were trash. Like, like, to the point where, like, things weren't showing up, like, people's faces weren't rendering. And it's like, they didn't have the time to finish this game, let alone add a new character. They should have had a female character in there from the beginning. But by the time someone said, can you add one, they're like, absolutely not. It would be too hard. Because they're an inept company. But in Watch Dogs 2, you know, it's like a Grand Theft Auto, Saints Row open world kind of game. So you can walk around, do missions, fight civilians, help, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And also the key of it is that you can hack everything. So you can, like, pull a little PDA and see, like, little facts about people. Like, this guy's allergic to ranch dressing, or this person's late on other
taxes. Ranch gross.
Like, this lady's always late on her taxes. This guy has 18 points on his driver's license or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also pretty realistic. So somebody found a couple days ago over the weekend, there was, like, you know, and these games are getting more sophisticated, so, like, random things will happen to the non-playable characters that aren't your doing. So there can be, like, an explosion or a fight that you didn't cause, just happens between people. So apparently somebody either caused an explosion or something happened, and a lady got, like, knocked over. And the guy was walking around and saw that she was wearing, like, crotchless underwear, which is seems like a weird thing to make to me. I would have not had that much creativity, but, and you could see, like, the full vagine rendered pretty well, like, not fantastically well, I assume. I saw the picture. I don't remember being that impressed, but I was kind of scrolling because I didn't want to feel like a creep. So it obviously brought up some controversy of the, you know, well, the game is rated correctly because that's all the, like, it's rated M for mature. You should be able to see junk in an M game, I think. But someone's like, oh, you know, this just follows the trend of, you know, women's sexuality being used as a prize for violence against women. Some people were like, I see what you're saying, but that's not the case here. Like, you weren't required to beat anybody up, and you really weren't supposed to be fighting people. And also, there's, like, dicks in the game. Like, I was listening to a podcast and they say there's some guy that just like is pissing in an alley and then just keeps his pants down and walks out and just walks around, which is weird, but he's just flopping around. So it kind of has led to this discussion about like how come you can leave a penis in a game but not a vagina, and then there's the whole, well, penis has an on and off switch, vaginas don't, so you don't know, but that means you're inherently sexualizing it, and it's a big cluster, and I don't have a solution to this.
Oh, well,
that's the big story this week in games.
I don't really have a solution to it either, but I think it's interesting that if you look at something like, we've had, I don't know how many, six or seven seasons of Game of Thrones now, because I stopped watching it, but the ongoing cry in Game of Thrones is, like, why are there so many vaginas? Where, like, why isn't there equal representation of wieners? Like,
why isn't there?
Because full frontal nudity, even on premium channels for men, is considered, like, for some reason, a step above. It's fine to objectify the women by showing them completely nude all the time, but not fine. That's interesting, actually. So I feel like it's the
opposite in movies.
I mean, I don't see a lot of movies that are R-rated enough to contain any uncovered genitalia, but,
Oh, you're watching the wrong R-rated movies, then. I can do three right off the top of my head.
Carry on.
So Harold and Kumar 2 had a bottomless party. It's like a topless party, but your bottoms. And it had, like, a bunch of women and some guys, and then you also see Django's junk in Django, and then Ryan Reynolds' junk in Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Deadpool.
So, I mean,
I have Deadpool's, seen Deadpool, but...
Deadpool's little pool, little guy.
Little Wade.
Little...
yeah, but, like, in the same thing, like, but in the same vein as, I mean, I read the article about the Watch Dogs thing just to kind of get a primer on the issue, the article that you posted, and like you said, like, penises have an on-off switch, like, you can tell when it's a sexy time penis, and when it's just, like, a pee and penis, or whatever, and, like...
I think that's the way that people, I think that's a scientific term, pee and...
A pee and penis, well, like...
Isn't that the law in New York, too, actually? As long as it's not doing a sexual thing, you can be naked?
Like, I have no idea.
For anybody of any gender. I think that's, any gender can be naked in New York, as long as it's not sexually.
Interesting. Not anything sure. I'll be taking advantage of, but, but, like, but in Deadpool, like, it's not, like, a sexy little Wade. It's just, like, oh, God, I'm in a horrible fight.
Fire.
Yeah, like, I'm literally in the worst fight of my life, and I'm on fire, and I'm suffering, and there's also my junk, but it's completely unimportant because I am on fire and suffering. Like, like, in Game of Thrones, like, most of the opportunity of seeing a wiener would be in a, like, a sex situation because there's so much sex in Game of Thrones, right. And most of the female nudity is in a sexual situation or a sexually violent situation, of course.
Sure.
So it's the opposite outcry of, like, we need, why are the vaginas okay but there are no wieners, as opposed to, like, why are these wieners okay but there are no vaginas?
Yeah, I wonder why. Me as somebody who is not a great artist but has drawn, like, beyond stick figure people, I'd say it's easier to draw a dick. You just draw, like, a little round capital A and then you got a dick. Like, it's just easier. Look, we have all these jiggle physics from all the breasts in the games. We're like, we have to put this jiggle physics somewhere. Dicks can jiggle. I've never seen a jiggly vagina. I mean, I haven't looked, so there maybe they exist, but I'm just saying. We have the engine for it. The Havoc engine needs to be put to work. The Havoc engine is something else. Oh, jeez. But yeah, so, I don't know. That's all the thoughts I have on that.
I feel like the solution would be not to only show the vagines in situations where it is either sex or violence or death or any combination of the three.
You don't count death as part of violence? Is that a separate category? That seems violent.
Well, I mean,
enough.
Like, I feel like showing, like, there's a difference between, like, showing, like, a woman get raped or abused and then seeing her vagina, and, or, like, showing, like, a dead woman who is naked.
Oh, okay.
Difference. spheres sure. in some way. Like, both in both ways, it's like a horrible objectification.
Right.
But
that's not, yeah, that's not pleasant. We need more, you know, pleasant like, vaginas in video games.
Just so. Unsexualized nudity. Like the question seems to be like, how can we break the idea that vaginas are always sexual since they don't have a visible marker for when they are sexual or not? And the answer to me seems to be continue to show people with vaginas doing non-sexual things while their vaginas are visible. Like,
well, I think we kind of have like this weird discrepancy, right? So, because it just, you know, I just thought myself, I'm like, well, what situation would somebody be naked in that wouldn't be sexual? And I was like, that's okay, that's like a sexist thought. But I'm like, wait a minute, why are dudes ever naked in non-sexual situations? Mean, and it's like, always like in games and movies, like it's always played for laughs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's always like, oh, look how small it is, or like, look how vulnerable this guy is because
he's drunk, cause bouncy yeah. is.
Yeah, but I haven't.
I mean, like a shower, like there's a way to make a shower that's. Take a shower that's not sexual, like changing your clothes, like
sure,
maybe you sleep naked, like
yeah, that's just, I don't know. To me, that feels gratuitous to me. That feels like you're trying to be that guy, but it's like, no, dude, it's art. It's I'm not being a pervert. That's like something Kojima would do. No, she sleeps naked. Like, this is how she breathes. No, I think you're right though. That makes sense. I think you have a little bit more expertise in this than I do.
Well, I mean. But
I don't have a lot of expertise in most things. This is pretty much what I'm getting at.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, like, I have had a vagina for significantly longer than I imagine you have.
I mean, yeah. You're right. Congratulations on that gamble. You guessed right.
You guessed right.
So tell me about something else I don't know about.
Okay, so how about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them?
Where do you find them?
You find them in any of the movie theaters in the entire country.
Oh, nice.
I saw it on opening night.
Was that exciting?
It was exciting. Unlike the last movie premiere that I attended, like, an early release of on the night it came out, which was the Star Trek movie, there was actually, like, a fandom group there. Like, for the Star Trek movie, I got there, like, an hour and a half early and then sat, like, by myself. Except for, like, one girl who I ended up becoming friends with. Like, this movie, there was, like, a big line, people in costume, like, people who were really hype about the movie. And I mean, the movie was good. I wouldn't call it great. Introduced a lot of things that I think don't make any sense against the world building of the original series. but that is pretty par for the course in terms of anything that JK has released since the books have finished. Like, all of her Pottermore stuff and all of the, like, Ilvermorny, like, Wizards of the U.S. and that kind of stuff has all been kind of inconsistent with both, like, general world building and her own universe. So it was fun as its own movie. Like, just kind of like you kind of just take it as a single thing. Yeah, as opposed to like trying to tie the knots to the rest of the Harry Potter universe. I was deeply disappointed to discover that Johnny Depp is in fact playing Gellert Grindelwald.
That's...
Not surprised, but disappointed. And I think I said this last week, but it's just like, it's a series that revolves entirely like around an abused child. Like, it's about finding a family outside of your abusive family. It's about escaping from, like, the power of love, overcoming people crap. People who are crap. And the fact that JK has still made no comment on casting a now known domestic abuser in her movie, except that she's delighted. Except that she's delighted to have him in her universe.
Jazz, good job, JK.
Like, just shut your mouth. Stop saying words. Like,
does she know?
I mean, it was on the cover, I know, and I don't follow celebrity news. Like, it was on the cover of, like, every magazine and every, newsstand for, like, months this summer, and it was big news. I mean, presumably he was cast and the part was filmed before that, but it wasn't a big role in this movie, like, and it wasn't announced until, like, a week or two ago that he was going to be in it at all. So, like, they had plenty of time to, and I said this to my friend I saw the movie with, to, like, Tupac someone else's face over his, in, like, 1.5 minutes he was on screen, and and recast that role, because, first of all, I mean, of all the characters in the musical, like, or the musical, the movie, like, the Wizard Hitler character, like, at least he's not playing someone redeemable.
There's that, you know, that's why they let it go.
Like, but, yeah, but he's still making money off of it. And, like, I didn't even like his aesthetic for the character. And I know that's not his, it's the costume designers and not his choice. But, like, he just, like, he looked stupid.
I mean, sometimes that goes by, like, the actor, too. Like, different people can pull off the same aesthetic differently. Like, I think I overlooked good as the Joker, but Jared Leto didn't. You know, I could have did the same exact costume.
Yeah.
I'm off topic. Yep.
But go on. But, yeah, and, like... The other thing, and, like, my mom, I mentioned this to my mom, and she said she hadn't seen it at all, but the friend that I was with thought it was really weird, but, so, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, and since this is pretty soon after it comes out, like, seriously skip ahead if you don't want to be spoiled, but, so you find out that that one of the, like, Magical Congress Aurors, who is, like a high-ranking police wizard type person throughout the whole movie is actually Grindelwald in disguise. The character who's played by Colin Farrell turns out to be Grindelwald in disguise. And so throughout the movie he's like messing with part of the plot of the movie is that they're like wizards are on the verge of being revealed to the non-magical community in New York, and there's a group of, like, anti-wizard protesters called the New Salemers, who are,
Oh, God.
Are, like, the Westboro Baptists of anti-magic, and they're run by this horrible, abusive woman who takes in children, from families, who it's kind of hinted, like, that the children she takes in are potentially all would have been magical if they had been trained.
Sure.
And one of them, like the character who's played by Ezra Miller, is being manipulated by this Grindelwald in disguise Colin Farrell character throughout the movie, and he's like very physical with Ezra Miller's character. Like he's always touching his face and his neck, and like me and my friend thought it was very like weirdly sexual, especially considering that Colin Farrell's like a 50-year-old adult and Ezra Miller isn't a teenager, but he's playing a teenager, like an abused teenager. And I don't know if it was supposed to be creepy or not, but I was trying to decide whether it was supposed to be foreshadowing, considering that Grindelwald is whether or not he was requited with Dumbledore. Grindelwald is like canonically Dumbledore's first love,
right?
So I was trying to figure out like if this was like weird queer coding that we were supposed to be like, oh, I knew it was him all along because he was really gay at that teenager. Like,
it doesn't sound like it. It just sounds like they wanted to make him a bad guy. And then they're like, eh, let's make him creepy. That's good shorthand.
Yeah, it was just like, it was very, like pederasty creepiness. So, I don't know.
I just told my friend yesterday about, like, how so many Disney... He's like, hey, did you notice a lot of Disney villains are coded, like, with green stuff? I'm like, did you ever notice that all Disney villains are coded pretty queer? He's like, no, what do you mean? And I was like, and I explained to him, he's like, huh, yeah, I never thought about that. Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I was like, this is, and, like, it was, as expected, was very white. Like, there is one main black, not even main, like, supporting black character, the head of the Magical Congress. Madam President is a black woman, like a very, very light skinned black woman, like to the point where if I hadn't known that she was black, I don't know if I would have realized she was black.
Like Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, like lighter than Halle Berry. Like,
yeah.
So it's
you know, it's Harlem. There's not dark people there. Yeah. Not in the 1920s.
And it was also like one of the main characters was Polish, and the two sisters who are the main female characters have their last name is Goldstein, which is like a super Jewish last name, and I was wondering if they would bother to get into any of the politics of them being treated poorly for being Polish and or Jewish in 20s New York, but they couldn't even put black people in Harlem, so I
you know, that's I can't believe it.
So
this is we live in the best of possible worlds.
Wow.
Holy shit.
So yeah, well, so like I said, it was an enjoyable movie. I kind of want to see it a second time just to kind of catch the nuances of things that I've missed. And it's been a while since I've wanted to see a movie a second time. But
sure,
it's, like I said, it's good, not great.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. It's, yeah, I don't have anything else to say. I didn't see it, so glad it wasn't bad, at least.
Well, so. Thank you for letting me talk your ear off about it.
I wanted you to. It'll be easier for me to edit. That's the magic, you know. Everything's calculated. Just like I calculated how much time it would take to get to a break. And we're right at that break. So here comes some music, lovely people. Check it out. Enjoy it. You know it'll be in the show notes. And we'll see you in a little bit.
Enjoyed that music. As always, gonna credit the artist in the show notes. We love our artists and we want to make sure that everyone knows how to support them. We're not using anything that isn't like tagged for reuse or whatever, like
support your artists. Yeah. Drop some cash.
So if you want to give them some love, we would love that. So but yeah, so now it's time for our last segment of the episode, which is the...
What's that segment?
It's the Cool Shit We Got This Week segment, Dom.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Awesome. Did you get any cool shit this week?
I got a bunch of cool shit this week. First and foremost would be my cool-ass Ask Me About My Feminist Agenda t-shirt.
Congratulations.
Which, thank you. I may have mentioned in previous... previous episode, but
yeah, when did you order that? When we started this podcast or something?
Something like that, yeah. End of October, before we went on vacation, I ordered it, and it turned out that there had been some confirmation issue with Wheel of Fine. They hadn't, like, the payment had gone through, but they never got the order.
Oh.
So when I wrote to I wrote to their customer service, and they were like, oh my god, that's so like, we're gonna fix this right away. We've put a rush on your order, and you should get it as soon as possible.
Nice.
So, and like, the customer service response was really great. Still took, I was still surprised to finally find it in my mailbox. but the context of the t-shirt is that it's the t-shirt that Bobby Morse, aka Mockingbird, is wearing on the 8th and final issue of, the Mockingbird ongoing comic book series from Marvel. Just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, a little more than a month ago. But it was low-key one of the best comic book series I was reading, period. And definitely one of the best that I was reading for Marvel while it was ongoing. And after the episode, the issue was released that had Mockingbird in this t-shirt on the cover, Telsey Kane actually got harassed off of Twitter. She was the writer of the series. She got harassed off of Twitter. And so there was I think we talked about this on an earlier episode, but there was an I Stand With Chelsea Kane hashtag for a while, and I just wanted the t-shirt, period, but to have the t-shirt, and I mean, all of Wheel of Fine stuff is licensed, so in some small way it's supporting the artists as well to buy stuff from there. So I got this t-shirt, pretty hype about it. Not sure where I'm going to wear it, because I'm a kind of non-confrontational person in real life, and I don't know what kind of feminist agenda I'm going to tell people about if they do take the opportunity to ask me, but it's a
I didn't think this far ahead.
Yeah, it's a very comfortable shirt. I had a ordeal of it trying to take a picture of myself in it yesterday because Apple does not mirror front-facing selfies the way Android does when you take a picture. So no matter what, whether I took it from the back camera or the front camera, in a mirror or not in a mirror, the text was always backward.
Couldn't you just edit it?
You have to download a separate app, like a third-party app, to mirror flip a picture on an iPhone. I was like, I'm not fucking doing that. So I finally just managed to.
Wow.
I finally managed to get a picture just like of my torso, like far enough away with to see the whole t-shirt.
Okay, I was wondering why you did it. Like, it looked a little awkward, and I'm like, I didn't know if you were like laying down or you just don't want to have your face. And I'm like, this something looked off, and it looks like so you took it with the back camera.
I took it with the maybe that I don't. I honestly don't remember at this point, but I took it with one of the cameras, but just like with my arms as far away from my torso as I could get them.
Don't you have a selfie stick?
I have a selfie stick, but that doesn't make any difference in what the context of the picture looks like. I guess I could have used a selfie stick to get further away from my face, but
that's what I
didn't.
Meant, yeah.
I didn't think of my selfie stick until later in the day when I was taking pictures of myself in my new Scamander costume that I threw together in a day.
Were you wearing a wig in that picture? Or is that just your hair?
No, that's a wig. That's my okay. It's a Doctor Who wig.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. My hair is too long in the front to do that like spiky thing. It would just hang down over my face all the way to my like my lips and it'd look weird.
It's undercut time, homie.
It is.
Well, you got a shirt that supported somebody. That's cool. I got a shirt that just supported a corporation. Go me. Go capitalism.
What shirt did you get?
It's time to break it down. I got a Lucio shirt. His frog symbol. It's like a spray painted kind of look. It looks super dope and I love it so much.
It looks pretty cool. I can't
wait. So, you know, it'll be like a good at a convention like that Friday or Saturday night after you take your costume off but you decide to still go drinking.
Uh-huh.
You know. And while people are asking you about your feminist agenda, they can ask me about my dope ass beats.
Yeah, well, it, you can wear it just out and about because it's a way to recognize your peeps.
It's better than wearing a damn Reaper shirt.
Looks like I was at the Christmas market that I mentioned. We were there on Thursday too because it was right by the theater where we saw the movie, and I saw a guy in a Soldier 76, like a really nice like replica leather jacket. I was
I think you can buy them.
I was like, man, I spotted a fucking nerd. Like.
Like, where's the people that are going to, like, buy the D.Va bodysuits and the soldier jacket and just wear those as a combo? Like, that's how you shut the game down. Those are both things you can buy. Speaking of Overwatch, did you play it this weekend?
I played a teeny tiny bit of Overwatch this weekend. And the reason why is because Blizzard made it free to play for the weekend, starting Friday, ending today. I think ended today being Sunday for the listeners, but unfortunately I didn't, because I was busy this weekend, I didn't get a chance to really play a lot of it. I didn't actually end up playing any actual matches, partially because I was struggling. Like, I played the tutorial and I messed around in the practice range for a while with different characters, but I was struggling because I don't have an external mouse for my laptop. I just have the trackpad. And it was very difficult. Yeah, very difficult to maneuver and shoot and aim and do all of the things without a mouse.
I just did it on my computer for a second. That'd be weird.
Yeah. So, but it seems like a fun game. I think if I get a mouse or like a Xbox controller or something that I can hook up to my computer, I might splurge on it once I have Christmas money.
Hey, it's 40% off on Black Friday, so if you can get someone to throw some cash.
40% off 40?
I think, yeah.
That's not bad at all.
That's pretty dope.
That's like a meal. like a nice meal out, like, or something. That's definitely affordable.
You know, that's the Lucio motto. Skating fast, eating ass. The price of a meal, you know. All day, every day. Speaking of sexiness, I
That's a stretch.
But, hey, whatever. It's cool. I got an amiibo this weekend. I got Rosalina amiibo from, I guess, Mario Party, or like one Mario game. Because I couldn't get a Rose.
I was say, even though she's been demoted to like second tier bay after Sombra,
she's still, you gotta stay on the roster. No, but yeah, I wanted to get one and I couldn't get the Smash Bros. One, so I got this one. It's well crafted. It's nice. It's still hilarious to me how tall she is. Like, she stands like far beyond like Sonic and Mega Man, and I think she's taller than the Squid Sisters too, like by a good margin. It's just kind of funny to see.
Nice. So does the amiibo have any like game value?
Yeah, but I'm not
gonna. It unlocks something.
Yeah, you can like put data on them to like train Smash Bros. Characters in a way. Or like some weird mode on the Mario Party game that I have no interest in. I don't have that game. I just, like I said, I just wanted like just some like Sonic the and figurine Rosalina.
For the yeah. sake of the figurine.
Yeah, they're like Funko Pops, but like not big heads. So.
Nice.
Oh, and I ordered a Funko Pop the other day. It'll be here in December when it's released.
What Funko Pop did you order?
Sidney Crosby. Oh, yeah. Sidney Crosby, the hockey boy. So I'm excited about that, too.
Very cool.
Yeah. What else you get?
So,
it's a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. So I didn't pay any dollars for this, but I, like, we were talking about how many books I have on the break, and it's a ludicrous number of books, and I could not hope to read all of the books in a year. And instead of making any kind of inroads into reading those books, I went and got a bunch. I got a New York Library card in August, like, July, as soon as I had an agreement. I didn't even have a lease. I did, like, you have to be a resident of one of the three boroughs that the New York Library serves to have a New York Library card. And so I took the email from my realtor that said we were going to go sign the lease to the library to get my library card. And I have taken out an obnoxious amount of books since then. And I mean, like, on the one side, it's like stuff from series that I ought to have read just to keep on track of like where young adult books are, but that I was not going to spend my limited and hard-earned money on because I don't know whether I like them, or like I know that I don't like them, but I wanted to find out how the series ended or something like that. But I have currently 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 physical library books, and I only had 3 on hold.
Oh, jeez.
I went to the library. I already had 2 at home. I had 3 on hold at the library, and I went and realized that they had the Fantastic Beasts script, the script book.
I thought you owned that already.
No, I have the Cursed Child script book, which I still haven't read I kind of semi-refuse to believe that it exists. But since I kind of enjoyed the Fantastic Beasts movie, I was like, oh, it'll be fun to just, and it'll be a quick read to just read through this, and it's a pretty book. It's a very, like, aesthetically pleasing cover design. Sure. But so now I have 6 library books, 2 of which are due by Wednesday. Both of which are over 500 pages, and 2 more library books as ebooks on my phone because the New York Library has a has an ebook app, and you know, all these other things to do.
That's a humongous task that I have no idea how you're going to do that.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'll probably have to renew at least one of them, but the rest of them, you know, now that I have them and I'm committed to finishing them, I'll probably finish them. But the thing that annoys me is that I have, like, just sitting on my living room table, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books that are my own books that I've been meaning to read since, like, September that I have not read because I keep putting myself in this pinch of having to finish the library books before they're due.
Sounds like you love doing that then.
So yeah, like I have it's a vicious cycle that I keep putting myself in. It's like the least harmless thing that someone could be addicted to.
I was going to say, it's better than alcoholism. So not to make light of alcoholism, I'm being serious. That's way worse than being addicted to reading books, I'm sure.
So that's the last thing I got this week, is I got myself in a hole. In a further library book hole.
Hey.
And not in a good way.
Aw. Something Watch Dogs 2.
So, anything else that you got this week?
Yeah.
Let's get there and wrap it up.
Yeah, I got some Hamilton tracks from the Hamilton mixtape. From that pre-order, there's new tracks. Lynn keeps blessing us. So I'll start with the Wait For It cover. Sure, it seems like
Real fast. there's like, how many tracks are supposed to be on this whole mixtape? Because I feel like he's released like 10 of them so far. Like, are we gonna...
No, he's released 6.
Okay.
And it's on Lynn's Twitter. What's his header? Let's see how good my eyesight is. Well, there's over 22 songs.
Okay. It seemed like they'd released a lot of them already.
Only 6 so far. And it comes out next Saturday.
Okay.
Like, not this coming Saturday, but the next one. But what they seem to be doing is releasing, like, a full remix kind of thing and, like, a cover. Each pre-release sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's cover was Wait For It by Usher.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the covers released, it's my least favorite so far. Again, by no means bad. Like, Usher does a completely good job. It's beautiful still, but it's...
From what I've heard is that it lacks the emotional heft of the context of the show.
That for sure. And some of the inflections he takes, like, to give it a different cadence, it's like, well, I guess you had to do that, but I don't know. It doesn't click with me the same way. But I'm sure if I, like, showed it to, like, my friends that didn't listen to Hamilton, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Usher's a good singer. This is a good song.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I like it, but out of the tracks that I have on my phone, it's probably one of the ones I would skip the most off the mixtape. On the other hand, we have Wrote My Way Out, which is a masterclass of badassery. It starts with the sample of, you know, Wrote My Way Out from Hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aloe Black sings, a new chorus. And he's, he was on, like, some Avicii songs before, but he also wrote that I'm a Man song from a couple years back, but it doesn't matter. But he's, like, the singer of it. And then Nas comes in, you know, Nas the rapper, from rap music.
From rap.
He kicks out a verse that's just great, like, you know, references Hamilton, like, it's good stuff, just great stuff. And then the chorus, and then some guy named Dave East comes in, and he does a good verse. It's, I know him the least, but he still had very serviceable verse, still emotionally resonant. And the chorus, and then Lin-Manuel comes in, the man himself, the Ham Manleton, and he spits a hot 16, and man, he kills it too. Like, this guy is, he is the truth, man. He can rap, so good. And yeah, I love the track. It's really good. It's cool. One of those ones you listen to and you're like, this has to end because I don't want to go on too long. But man, I kind of wish Lin would give us another verse because this one was so good. So
nice.
I'm really looking forward to when this gets released in a couple weeks.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's all the shit we got. I feel like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's been a stuff-filled week. A stuffed week, yeah. You might even say.
Like, is that a Thanksgiving joke?
It is now.
Well, wow. Congratulations. You did it.
It's a triple entendre.
What's the other two?
Well, just
what's the other one?
It's a pun on the fact that stuff, it has both a verb and a noun meaning, and then also is a reference to Thanksgiving being this week, albeit unintentionally.
Oh, I see. Okay. Triple entendre. Congratulations. Whoa, listeners, you made it through another one. You guys are so committed. I love it. I think we're going to have iTunes resolved by the end of the week or early next week, so pretty excited
about
that. That'll
be exciting.
Yeah, so our listenership will probably, like, quadruple, and then we'll have 4 listeners. Self-deprecation's hilarious. but, you know, we have another character reveal coming out. Do you think we should release it this Thursday night, this Thursday still?
That's a very good question.
Because I think it definitely needs to come out this week because it's talking about some stuff that happens next week. And so it should definitely come out this week, but I'm not sure if it should go out Thursday or Friday or try to go Wednesday. Well, listeners, you'll see it eventually.
It might come out this Thursday.
And if the numbers come out weird, we might just use it as this week and next week's episode. You know, a lot of people don't listen to podcasts on Thanksgiving, and I don't like to, like, ruin people's schedule and stuff by... You know, a lot of people get, like, anxiety of, like, oh, I want to listen to all the episodes of something. So you kind of lose your Thanksgiving. So it might just be for 2 weeks. It'll actually give me a chance to get back ahead. So I'll edit, like, we were going to release 2, but I'll see what people say. So, but yeah, Pittsburgh fans, you'll really like this one this week. So we're going to keep it a secret till you see it on the feed. But, I mean, 2 days, I think you can handle it. You're all tough people.
Yeah, you got this.
But in the meantime, should we kick some social media business?
Yeah, let's do that.
Who's up? Me or you?
I think I got this.
Cool. Show them what's good.
All right, and just so you know, this is all from memory because we don't have it in the notes this week. So
I don't think we ever have it in the geekly notes. This was supposed to be the casual half of the show. All right,
well, let's do this. So you can find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal, and it seems like a lot of people have been finding us there lately. We've been getting some pretty good numbers on those posts, so carry on. You can find us on Twitter by searching for Character Rev, Character Rev, all one word, R-E-V, Character R-E-V at the end, so no spaces, no underscores, two R's in the middle, Character Rev.
Oh yeah.
You can find me and Dom on Twitter, me at Captain Steph, Dom at Brother Dom, it's Brother Dom with an A, not with the E-R.
Yeah, you won't find me, some other guy.
You can follow us on Tumblr, Dom also at Brother Dom, me at The Snow Queer.
That's true. I haven't been on there in a long time.
On Tumblr?
Yeah, I just haven't put it on my new phone because I was behind on data, and I'm like, no, not this time.
Not Tumblr. Today, Tumblr.
You're not getting Verizon mad at me.
So yeah, then you can also, let's see, what haven't I hit?
You can see us writing if you want to see us writing some stuff.
That's true.
Intersectional feminist nerdy stuff over at the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And I think we both have posts go up this week, right?
Yes. I've got one on Monday and I think one later in the week, but I'm not sure. No, we're taking a break for Thanksgiving and then the next post will be my Moana review. So wait, get ready for that hot take.
Yeah, if you guys want to come back and look at some stuff I wrote about, what the hell did I write about? Hyperforce Neo, and there's also a Squirrel Girl review, so if you like us, you should go read our stuff.
Yes.
I write less than Steph does, but, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, and finally, if you want to just follow this podcast, hear more of our voices, or hear more of guests' voices combined with our voices, you can follow through our powers combined. We are Character Reveal, so, you know, you can check us out by going to characterreveal.simplecast.fm.
That's true.
Toss our RSS feed into your iTunes window on your computer, and it will subscribe you to our podcast that way. Or you can just search for us on Stitcher or Google Play, and it'll add you right to the docket there. So
it's amazing. You'll love it. It's great. The quality, mwah, perfect.
All right. So that's the whole biz.
I think that is it. And you know what, listeners, once again, thanks for joining us. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear it. Every little bit helps. You know, we're still growing out here, so even if it's the smallest constructive criticism, it helps a lot. So thanks for joining us for another one, and until next time, see you later.
Bye.